welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Hello, guys. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs, and the summer series continues. If you have been tuning in, you know that every other week we are featuring one of you guys from SpeakPipe, where we are collecting all of your questions and comments, and it's been so incredible. And you're catching me the last few days of my travel before I land at the Omega Institute to teach for the week of August 7th through the 12th. So if you are a very last minute person and you're looking to join us, you have about 3 days, and you can click on my link on my website to go to thecureforchronicpain.com and click on the retreats tab, and you can join us, or you could go right to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, and my retreat will come up. Just so looking forward to it. It is a week that I anticipate every year with so much joy and excitement. So it's going to be really awesome. Hope I am going to see you there. So in terms of our content, our topic today, this is a very deep one for me. I'm going to jump right in. A lot of you guys have been sending us SpeakPipe messages that are circling a theme that I think resonates with every single one of us, the theme of relationships, where our relationship issues were sown, how they affect our lives today, and then how they live within us in the form of TMS. It's just such a powerful topic. We know that TMS is related to the relationships in our lives, as we are human animals, social animals. We need relationship to survive. But we're also always looking into the mirror of our relationships to assess ourselves, our worth, our value, and our goodness. It's just so ubiquitous that this is happening to us. And of course, our parents represent our first, most powerful, and primary relationship in life. Basically, we end up defining ourselves, whether we like it or not, by the way we fit into our parents' needs and definitions. And then, of course, as we get older and more awake, and people listening to this podcast are definitely among these people, it's hard to continue to grow on our own without addressing the impact and fallout of these primary relationships. And then, of course, if you are a parent yourself, which so many of us are, it begs the question over your own role as a parent. You know, they screwed me up. How am I screwing my kids up? It's just such a constant conversation. And, you know, I want to always, always, always put in a plug for be kind to yourself, be gentle to yourself. There are three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And when we're talking about relationships, especially about the ones with our own parents and the role we play as someone else's parents, we have to operate with a lot of self-compassion, because this is really tricky stuff and it can be really triggering, as you guys might have heard about last week. So today I'm going to play a message from Emily. I'm going to address a few others by name. But the rest of you know that I've heard all of your messages, so many of them circling this topic, and I'm also talking to you. This is just everybody. Nope, nobody is not somebody's child, and so this can be really complicated. So I'm gonna start with Emily's recording, because she had so many good points, and we're gonna kind of build on it from there, because Emily's recording for me this week was an inspiration to dig more deeply into the relationship we have with our own parents, with our own children, and then ultimately with ourselves, because that's really the end game here. We are looking to deepen, cultivate, and explore the relationship we have with ourselves. And sometimes that has to begin with looking at our relationships with other people. So let's listen to Emily's message, and then we'll talk on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. My name's Emily. I've been doing your work for about 7 weeks now, and it's been amazing. I've really seen huge improvements. I've actually weaned off my antidepressants. That's one of my main issue is depression and anxiety. Your work really hit home with me, because I always thought there was something wrong with my brain. I'm like, it has to be a physical thing. Like, something's wrong with me. And so when I heard about your work, I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. Anyways, I've been trying to wean off my antidepressants for 5 years, and I can't believe I just did it over like this 7 week period, and it's crazy. But now I'm actually having to feel all my emotions, and it's been really hard, especially when it's coming to my parents. I think I just I realized I thought all my feelings instead of actually felt them. So now I'm realizing there's a lot of stuff from my childhood that, you know, I'm really hurt from, and I just don't know how to, like, I find myself being really angry at my mom, and I can't, like, answer her phone calls anymore because I'm so, like, I don't know how to be around her. I can't just, like, pretend anymore. So, like, be like, everything's fine. And so I'm like, what do I do? And they're not, like, the kind of people, at least my mom isn't the person that will ever be accountable for anything. So it makes it really hard to, like, even share this kind of stuff. It's like, you can't really. I've thought about sharing it with my dad. He probably would be more open to, like, hearing about it. But I don't know. I just, like, I think I need some, like, more guidance or something on how to handle, like, relationships when you're going through this work, especially when it's, like, your parents and they're the ones that, you know, like, you're struggling with, like, trauma and stuff from your past. Anyways, I, like, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do. It's really helped me. You have no idea. Anyways, thank you so much. Bye.
So, you know, Emily is, to me, honey, you're so relatable because I love how you say, I can no longer think my feelings, I have to feel them. And how am I supposed to do this inner child work while still being triggered by my own parents? You know, I sometimes think of the concept of equations when it comes to this work. You know, if A plus B equals C, then if we change A or B, C must change. It's only natural. It's science that if an ingredient in a final product is changed, the final product is going to be changed. And so when we have been playing this polite game with our parents for a lifetime where, you know, we fall into certain dances, everyone has their different family dynamics. When a child starts to change, an adult child usually, it can really be confusing and difficult because the end result, the C of it all, it can't possibly look the same. So what I hear you struggling with, Emily, is how am I supposed to continue to talk to these people the same way I've spoken to them? I'm not willing to play that old game anymore. And I totally get it. And you've really inspired me to start thinking about our relationship with our parents and all these relationships. And so as the podcast moves on, Emily, I think you're going to get some good answers to your questions. You know, you're not the only one who's asking these questions. Jatem, for example, who, yes, Jatem, I do remember you from the retreat. She asked if I remembered her because her name is so unusual, and I love it because it means I love you in French. But Jatem said, you know, her own anxiety issues are cropping up because she's constantly worrying about her own children, just kind of bringing into the fold the concept of what is it like when we look back in the rear view at our own parenting and when we then have to look at what am I doing? How am I showing up for these little people? Am I doing it better than my parents? Or am I overcorrecting? Am I doing it so differently than my parents did it just to correct them that maybe I'm going overboard in different ways? So it really can be really confusing as to sort of how to do this right, how to look through this lens of relationships, look at ourselves, and do the best we can to show up for other people in our lives. And you know what? It's not just our parents. Ellen called in and said, what about TMS after a stressful breakup? You know, oftentimes I'm hearing a lot of people talk about abusive relationships. When I post on Instagram, a lot of times I talk about childhood trauma, and inevitably someone will comment in the community and say, I didn't have that extent of childhood trauma, but in my 20s, I was in a severely abusive relationship, and now I'm in my 40s, and I'm still replaying that role. Totally. It does not have to be childhood trauma. Relationship issues can affect us lifelong, no matter when we experience that trauma. So, you know, and Diana has a deep enough familiarity with my work in Sarno to observe that everyone in her family has TMS, but refuses to acknowledge it, which so many of us are going through that. So family relationships. And like, even when we're able to identify our stressors, like Diana is, it's not always easy to just stop that cycle. These relationships they land deeply within us. And so the most important thing to understand is that no matter the relationship you're looking at in your life, whether it's your own parents or a spouse or a partner, or maybe a difficult work dynamic or a difficult friend group, whatever it is, our relationships affect us emotionally on a daily basis. It's just the bottom line. And, you know, as I said, last week's podcast, I talked about triggers and how we all want better relationships. The only reason to spend all this time on this podcast and all the other self-help things that we all do is in the end to have a better relationship with ourselves and therefore better relationships with others. So I just want you guys to know I am hearing you. I'm hearing you that relationships are so important and integral and central to this work. And, you know, if we can cultivate awareness, as I was talking about last week, we can find our pause, and then we can consciously decide not to act from a place of past trauma. And so let's look at that. Let's look at for a moment what we can do when we start with the most primary relationship, the relationship we have in our family of origin with our parents. This is, and when I just want to tell you guys, when I started thinking about this and I came upon this, my producer and I were having a conversation about it, and we started with the family of origin, we started talking about parental relationships, and we were just kind of riffing back and forth and digging deep. What we came up with, I think, is so important to recognize. And so I'm just kind of teasing it with, like, listen carefully to this next part, because it really meant a lot to me to land on it in the whole relationship conversation. So our family of origin, our parents, is inherently a time of relative powerlessness for a child. You don't get to choose what you eat, where you sleep, what you wear sometimes, where you go to school. You know, you don't get to make your own schedule. And that's just the most happy childhood. And then you factor in either capital T trauma, abuse, neglect, witnessing horrible events, you know, severe relationship issues when it comes to divorce. And, you know, there's so many really capital T trauma things that have happened to people that affect them lifelong. But then there's the little T trauma, you know, not being seen, not being heard. I know you guys hear me say this all the time, but it's really important for me to say, if you don't consider yourself an abused or neglected child in any way, it does not mean you didn't have childhood trauma. It is not what is wrong with you. It is what happened to you. And there's so many times that people come into therapy and say, I have no right to this extent of my TMS. I have no right to this extent of my feeling unseen, unheard, unacknowledged. You know, I had nice parents. They loved me. And I get it. And I know they loved you. But it's okay to acknowledge that there were things that you didn't get. There were emotional needs that weren't met. There were times you were shut down, silenced. You know, we just don't have agency over our decisions when we're kids. And so how do we learn to survive? Because as human beings, although we are social animals and we require relationships, we also seek to find our individuality. You know, what is mine? Where is my power here? Because, you know, the problem with trauma is trauma leaves us feeling alone. And when you're feeling alone, you're feeling powerless, you're feeling incapacitated, you're feeling like you have no voice, we will in those moments look for anything that can be ours. Okay, so keep that in mind. So if we look through this through the lens of pathology, that this can look like behaviors that look like eating disorders, cutting, you know, anything that a child feels like they have control over and have control over alone. So anything you can do to your own body, either overeating or undereating, overexercising, you know, studying crazily for school and becoming incredibly under pressure of that, or saying, screw it, I won't study. You know, anything that you do to yourself, whether emotionally, spiritually, physically, that can be really troublesome as a child, obviously, because these are the things we're using to control in that way. And then we get older and we start to grow up and we start to become more mature in different ways. And then, how could I even forget? In childhood, there's other things that we do to offload this kind of lack of control. And that's unconscious, the unconscious part, which is the TMS, you know, stomach issues, headaches, anxiety, you know, the most common things we find in younger people. But this is the part that when I landed on, it felt so powerful. Look at the language we put around these things when we get them. They may start as in childhood, or they may start in adulthood, but they're always possessive. My migraines, my stomach stuff, my anxiety, you know, my migraines are acting up, you know, I'm getting this, you know, my fibro, my back pain, it always begins with my. And I know it's completely unconscious, you know, it's just the only reason we're saying that is because it's happening to us. But what we started to discuss when we were talking about this whole web of relationships and how it affects us in life, we realized that it's ironic. What all of these things that we're saying, you know, my migraines, my stomach aches, my anxiety, at first blush, they seem disempowering. They seem disempowering because who wants to have chronic illness? Who wants to be stuck in bed or at doctor's offices or canceling plans or feeling like your life is super small? We all know that is a disempowering feeling. But when we start really looking at this possessive way we talk about our ailments, my migraines, it's like I can slow down and I can feel the connection that we have to the things that are wrong with us. And then I look back to childhood and to think, how do we gain any agency in childhood? We own what the only thing that could be ours, my body, my pain, my anxiety, my suffering. You know, no one can take that from you. And even though you don't want that, it still, ironically, but just go with me on this, gives you a bit of power. And so now we look at adults, my migraines, my stomach stuff, my anxiety. Even though they seem disempowering, even though they legitimately undermine our robustness, weaken our health, they create pain in our bodies, but when we frame them and speak of them as our own, they start to define us. I am. You know, I am a stomach person. I am a head person. You know, do you get stomach stuff or head stuff? I get head stuff. You know, I am a migrainer, my ulcer, my depression. And, you know, I just think it begs investigation, because what ends up happening? Think about it. I have a migraine. My migraine keeps me from what? Keeps me from situations out in the world that could injure me, keeps me from work. I'm on disability because there's so much that is fraught in the work world of self-worth and value. And I know you guys want to work, and I know you guys don't want to be in a dark room with the shades drawn. But think about it. We end up, I believe, unconsciously from childhood bringing the relationships that began with our parents that required all of our repression because there was trauma there, we brought them into our personal power and either somaticized them with physical stuff or, you know, acted out in different ways, and they become part of us. And as much as we are suffering in them, there is an interesting concept of when something is part of you, it becomes dear to you. It's helping you in some way. And then we can grab onto Dr. Sarno's theory, which he always spoke about the pain being here to protect you and distract you. You're thinking about your pain because why? You're not wanting to think about the emotional repressed world, the things that feel like unsolvable problems, unfixable dynamics, things that you asked for that now you don't know how to handle. This is human life. This is what's happening literally to all of us. And so I think it's really important. And I know I'm going off topic a little bit with the parenting thing. I'm going to circle back to it. But it just, when we started with the first, you know, listening to all the audio, and we realized that we wanted to do a podcast on relationships, it just sort of brought me very deeply into what is our relationship we have with ourself? What is our relationship we have with our pain? And what is happening in us when we continue to own these things? And what came up for me is, when you own something and when you nurture it for years, it becomes part of you and you begin to understand it as protecting you. And if we can simply unmask this situation for what it is and understand how much we might be holding these close to our chest the way kids hold their eating disorders, the way kids hold their stomach aches, because maybe stomach aches mean you don't have to go to school. Maybe mommy will pay more attention to you. Maybe you won't feel so alone. Maybe you'll be able to say you need help when you aren't usually comfortable asking for help, or ask for love if you're not feeling well. You know, so it's just everything I do on this podcast is to spark conversation and to spark ideas in your own mind so you can take it back to your journal speak practice. So you could say, what's happening in me? What happened to me that has led to what's happening in me? And then how can I pause and take this opportunity to empower myself to heal? Because the most empowering thing we can do, to be really honest with you, is to take that possessiveness away from these different illnesses and diagnoses and syndromes and say, I experience migraines. I mean, just even in that, the semantics there, listen to the difference. I have migraines, they are my migraines, versus I experience migraines sometimes. I experience migraines lots more than I want to, and I'm looking to do the work to circumvent that. It's a very different dynamic. And we have to call it out for what it is, because what protected us when we were kids has a very powerful influence on what protects us when we're older. Okay, so I needed to talk about that. So let's also talk about the fact that when we are in the midst of childhood, we allow things to define us that make space for us to take back our power. Okay, we discuss this. If we feel like power has been stolen, we make space for that. We want to, you know, these are my problems. I can talk about my problems. And then as we get older, we start to realize that we're taking that into different relationships, to our bosses, to our colleagues. You know, all of these relationships claim our time. They tell us when and how to show up. They become the new obligations that have authority over our lives that our parents once commanded. So it's just, it's always happening. It's always evolving in our lives. And then, of course, we use our TMS to take back something for ourselves. I know it's crazy. Even as I'm recounting this, because, you know, I really was thoughtful when we were going through it after the speak pipes. It almost sounds crazy. You know, why would I use my TMS as an excuse? I don't want these things. But if you understand that in some weird, strange, backward way, your TMS is giving you power and it's giving you a chance to take back something from your parents or your boss or your colleagues, it's just powerful. So anyway, lots of food for thought here. And you know, and another thing I want to say is, in COVID, a lot of people on SpeakPipe who have also been calling in about COVID and feeling like, as much as they have really been through trauma and fear and often terrible illness during this time of the pandemic, they're kind of admitting that COVID gave them a really desired and welcome break off of work, or they were allowed to say no to people. There was freedom in COVID. And so it's another way that people took back their power. And I think that we have to look at all that stuff, because we don't want to need our illness, and we don't want to need a global pandemic in order to have our power. So now we're going to go back to the original topic at hand, to Emily's question, to how to live within the concept of relationships in our lives and to not feel disempowered. So the real question is, what do real empowerment and agency look like? What does it mean to actually own parts of ourselves that are not just our pain? Because so many people are here because they don't want their pain to rule their lives anymore. But what does that mean? How do we have real empowerment? So, of course, you know, I'm going to have to talk about the daily practice of journal speak, because that's where I can give Emily some good advice. Emily, you are asking a very legitimate question. You are changing. You are waking up. You have come off your antidepressants. You are looking to expand your life in terms of your self-understanding and your relationships. And you look at your parents and you say, I can't play that game anymore. Well, honey, I'm going to tell you this nice. I'm going to say this to everyone who experiences relationship issues with their parents, with their grown children, even with their young children, with their friends, with their bosses, with their colleagues, with their spouses. Sometimes we cannot mend those relationships with those other people. Sometimes it's just not possible. And that doesn't mean it's not possible forever, but sometimes today it's just not possible. So if that's the case, the journal speak practice is just so powerful. And I know I'm like a musical instrument that plays one note about this stuff, but you don't have to change your life in order to be completely free of chronic conditions. You just have to bring those feelings from the unconscious to the conscious. So your body knows, your brain and your nervous system know, they no longer have to distract you and defend you with your physical symptoms. They no longer have to choose between what hurts and what hurts worse. And I will promise you that the brain and the nervous system perceive your repressed emotional world as a greater predator, just like early man, you know, when we were running from predators. They perceive your repressed emotional world as a greater predator than your pain, and your pain will be the chosen option. And so obviously that's not what we want. And obviously many of us are in relationships like Emily's talking about where, you know, quote, my mother will just never get this. My sister will never understand. My brother will never come around. I get it. They're your family. And I am in no way suggesting that you have to distance yourself from them. Some people choose to, but you certainly don't have to be free of chronic issues. It is all about sitting with your journal speak practice, writing the letters you'll never send. Dear mom, this is the way I really feel about what happened between us. And this is the way it feels for me to try to talk to you now that I'm waking up and taking back my actual power. So my power is not my depression anymore and saying, oh my goodness, I can't function. I've got to get people to help me. I have to lie down. I get it. Trust me. I know about depression. I know about all these symptoms. But that is no longer where your power needs to reside. You don't have to take back your power by taking to bed. You can take to your journal speak practice. And when I tell you to write these things to your mother, this is not to read to her. This is not to send to her. This is literally for you. Because what we're doing is we're honoring your inner child. So Emily says, well, how do I do this inner child work when I'm still dealing with my parents? And I say, it's no problem. I understand you're going to be talking to your parents and you're going to be like, this feels like bullshit. It's going to be frustrating. I get it. It's okay to fake it till you make it. It's okay to not be totally authentic in every interaction you have. The authenticity you need, though, is with yourself. So when you sit down to your journal speak practice and you write these letters you'll never send, you can honor that little girl who was hurt, who didn't know any better, who took back her power with her headaches or her eating disorder or her cutting or her anxiety or her school phobia or her social anxiety and phobia. Like panic attacks. There's so many ways we take back our power. It's just not the power we want. You know, I often say in my lectures, and I have this whole presentation I'm going to give at Omega, it keeps us safe in the unsafest way. Yes, we're safe. You're safe when you're at home ill. You know, nobody can get to you. But that's not the safe we want. We want empowerment. We want freedom. We want freedom. I'm always talking about freedom because that's what we want. We want to be able to walk through this world with our head up, with our eyes up, being able to make the kind of difference we want to make. And so if you take to the journal speak practice, you do not have to make any sort of changes in these relationships. And I'm going to tell you also something, Emily, that I really have found more than not in this work. And I found it in my own life too, to be really honest, and with a lot of difficult relationships in my own life. When you start showing up for yourself, when you start taking your stuff to your journal speak and meditating and practicing more self-care and setting boundaries and letting your perfectionism ease and stopping the people pleasing and the fawning, when we start to do this work and really grow, that A plus B equals C, you'll be surprised how much you start liking C. So when I say A plus B equals C, of course, I'm saying A is you, B is the other person, whether it's parents or, you know, other people in your life, and C is the relationship. And I will tell you, when you start altering A for the better, you will find that the B factor rises to you. It doesn't happen every time, and I certainly can't speak for, you know, really disordered, abusive situations, but I can speak for some relationships in my life that the other person seemed really immovable to me, and then I continued consistently, that's important, the word consistently, I continued to consistently show up in that relationship, and the B factor, the other person in that factor, changed. And then the C at the end, the relationship, I'll be honest with you, it's like some of these relationships are great. So I don't want you to feel, any of you guys to feel, that just because you're in a difficult space, like Emily's talking about, that you're dead in the water, you know, shit out of luck, like nothing's going to ever change. In fact, I think change is infinitely possible, but the change must begin with you. You know, Gandhi said, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. I say, you must be the change you wish to see in your relationships. You know, me and Gandhi, speaking the truth. So there's that. There's the fact that you can do the work and you can show up for yourself and you can do the inner child work. And for those of you who are looking to dig deep and you can't come to Omega to do my inner child, you know, portion, I do have on my website an inner child retreat recording. Just go to my website and click on retreats and retreat recordings. I teach this work and you can do it. And you do not need your parents' participation to do it. And you don't even need to share with them that you're doing it. You know, I think one of the things I kind of found in a lot of your speak pipes is like, how do I talk to my family members about this? How do I show up honoring myself? And I say, honor yourself. You don't have to show up differently. You don't have to, you know, announce to the world that you're doing things differently. You can do this for yourself, and you can just kind of, as some people ask you, you know, well, how's your depression? How's your anxiety? How's your back pain? How's your migraines? You know, oh yeah, they're right. You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm doing a lot of self-care. I've got a lot of different modalities going on. You don't have to tell everybody what you're doing so you get judgment. You know, this is really primarily for you. So just keep that in mind. You know, you don't always need the buy-in from other people. And so, okay, so there's another major concept to this that I'm also really talking about all the time. And it's also going to be a big factor in helping you guys with your relationships. The concept of acceptance. Now, I've talked about acceptance a million and five times on this podcast, but the reason I keep coming back to it is because the concept of dropping the rope in the tug of war of life is one of the most powerful and under-complimented. I was going to say underused, but it's probably used plenty, but people still talk poorly about it. You know, it's dropping the rope feels like losing. You know, when I say what's the sound of one hand clapping, people acknowledge that the sound of one hand clapping is nothing, but they're like, yeah, but I need to clap back. I need, because you know what? Fuck her. She's not going to get the best of me. I need to clap back. And I say, okay. You know, but how's that working for you? Because it doesn't seem to be great. And here you are with your fifth migraine this month, or on disability because of your fibromyalgia, and you believe in mind body work and you're here to do it. Acceptance is the answer to all your problems today. So let's talk about acceptance. Once again, it's always worth revisiting acceptance. Acceptance does not mean agreement. Acceptance does not mean you are okay with what was done to you. It does not mean you have to forgive. It doesn't, if you're not up for forgiveness, even though you guys know, I believe that forgiveness is first and foremost for yourself, but you don't have to forgive your abuser. You don't have to, acceptance doesn't mean that you agree that what happened was fair or kind or okay. Acceptance is for you. Acceptance means you're not going to fight anybody or anything. You are going to honor yourself. Instead of fighting back and clapping back and always trying to be right and one-upping and, you know, perseverating for hours every night about, you know, what you could have said or what you should have done, acceptance is coming back to center and saying, what really matters here? What is my primary purpose in this work? My primary purpose is to honor the little person inside of me that was not seen and heard, to avail my brain and my nervous system of the understanding that they don't need to protect me against my repressed emotions, which will in turn bring my nervous system from fight or flight, which I'm constantly in, bathed in cortisol and adrenaline, to rest and repair, where so many of my systems come into equilibrium. And then I live a life of endless possibilities. That is our work here. Okay. Is clapping back helping that? You know, we always have to look at the end in mind. If the end in mind is this freedom and peace that we're always talking about, then acceptance is the answer. So let me give you an example of acceptance, because I think that I think it helps to have like a real example. So for example, we'll take Emily's situation. So she is no longer just thinking her feelings, she's feeling them. Her mother will never understand. Her mother, you know, and now I'm completely making this up, Emily, because I know you only gave me 3 minutes of your life. But let's just say her mother always criticizes her parenting, or person's mother is always telling you to lose 10 pounds, or, you know, a mother is always telling you, reminding you of all the things you've always done wrong. Oh, you've always done that way. You're always, you'll never change, whatever. There's the mother. If it's not one thing, it's your mother. Sorry. So there's the mother. And so what do we do here? Well, we can hate on her. We can fight and clap back and actually get into the ring. We can loathe her quietly and secretly and feel like, you know, I was born into the wrong family. All those things are possible. And if they are still working for you, more power to you. But if they're not working for you anymore, one thing that I will say is practicing acceptance around our parents is one of the most powerful ways to bring health to yourself, which is, this is my mother. This is who she is. This is why she is. And that's not making excuses for her, but you can write it down. This is why she is the way she is. I know what kind of parents she had. I know what kind of, you know, socioeconomic, cultural, whatever environment she was grown in. This is her. This is who she is. Okay. This is how she acts. And I'm literally serious. I'm talking about doing a journal speak exercise where you're just writing it out like a court reporter. This is how she behaves. This is what she says. This is how it makes me feel. I feel sad, hurt, defensive, angry, abandoned, alone, insulted. You know, go for it. Like, all say it all out. This is how she speaks to me in front of other people. Lay the whole thing out on paper like a court reporter exactly as it is. And then I want you to look at that. This is another retreat I have called Journal Speak for Radical Acceptance. But you look at that on the paper and you say, you read it over and you go, that's my mom. There she is. That's what is. And that's it. There she is. Okay. There she is. And I will tell you, I can even feel my own nervous system let down. And I don't even have this relationship with my mother. My mother is awesome. I got lucky with my mother. But the point is, it doesn't matter. I'm sitting here in some fantasy of someone else's mother, and I'm already feeling more relaxed just because it's radical acceptance brings us into peace, brings the nervous system into rest and repair. I'm not fighting against it anymore. I'm looking at it on paper and I'm saying, there it is. Here's my child. Here is his anxiety. Here's how it makes me feel. Here's how he speaks about it. Here's how it manifests in his world. Here's what it's been like for me raising him. There it is. There he is, my baby. And like, and I will tell you also within acceptance, within these exercises of acceptance, you can really bring yourself into real love and connection and compassion for other people. Because when you're not fighting against them, so often you make space for them to just be who they are, and then you can see the little bright lights in them. There are bright lights in every single one of us. Not one person is without a redeeming quality. I'm going to go really far and say that. So, you know, it's just worthwhile. It's worthwhile looking at that. So let's kind of put a bow on this. What are we always looking for, guys? We're looking for personal empowerment. We're looking for the fact that we have far more power than maybe we've been told by the Western medical model, by society, to affect our own health. We have far more power. And we no longer want to own our symptoms, syndromes, diagnoses, conditions like they are a security blanket. We want real agency versus the agency of, I have a migraine, so I have to go lay down. So the power of this work is releasing this fear. You know, allowing yourself to move, fueled by love and not fear, and then finding yourself arriving at a place where you say, I know what I really want. What I really want is freedom. And I would rather be free than be right with the people with whom I debate in my family, whether they be my parents or my nuclear family or my children or whomever. I would rather be free. You know, guys, listen, I'm a very spiritual person. I do believe we have many chances at living different lives. I do. I believe that kind of stuff. It's fascinating to me. I don't think this is my only go around, but this is my only go around as Nicole, as this unique person in all of my specificity. Me. This is my life, to be Nicole Sachs, to talk to you, to love who I love, to parent who I parent, to be friends with who I'm friends with. This is my chance. This is your life. Do you really want to be right, or do you really want to be free? Because when it comes to relationships, we're not getting out of it always holding the right card. It's just not going to happen, and it causes so much repression and so much TMS. And so it's just something to think about. And with your symptoms, would you rather hold them close to your chest? My. Or would you rather say, these are things I experience, depersonalize them, and do the work to let them go? And these are all personal choices. And I'm just here to stir the pot. I'm just here to wake up little parts of your brain that might not have been paying attention, that might have become so habituated to different thought patterns that they didn't even realize you had a choice. Because I'm going to tell you, pretty much always you have a choice of some sort in the way you think about things. One of my favorite talks that I listen to over and over, the recording of David Foster Wallace's This Is Water. And if you haven't heard it, just look it up online. This Is Water. It is such a beautiful description of a life well lived. And he was such a tortured guy. And I love that he had the ability to share his wisdom with others, even though obviously in his own life, he wasn't able to take his own advice. But what he does is he talks about you have a choice over what to think about. And if you exercise this choice over what to think about, you have real power. And so I'm just going to say that here. A little plug for listening to a smart talk, but really, it really comes down to what we're talking about today, which is you, my love, have the power over what you think about, over what you own and keep close to you, over whether you fight back to be right, over how you spend your time. If you want to do your journal speak practice, if you want to meditate, if you want to make these choices, I know they're hard. You have that power. You have that power, and you can do it. Okay, well, it has been awesome spending this week with you. When I say this week, it's because I've been with you guys so much in these speak pipes about these relationship issues. So thank you. Please, if you have not yet reached out to me on SpeakPipe, I want to hear from you. The summer series is only a few more weeks. And after that, the SpeakPipe will be closed until we launch the fall format. So please, if you haven't reached out, no matter how simple your question is or how complicated, no matter where you find yourself, if you just want to share with me a triumph, that would be amazing. I would love to have an episode where I can share your triumphs. If you have a success story, if you have something that happened to you, if you had some difficult symptom and you were able to overcome it with mind-body work, please reach out to me. It is speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs, NicoleSachs. Record your message to me. We listen to every single one of them. And make sure to mention if you don't want it read on the air, because when you don't mention that, we know that we could bring it onto the podcast should we choose. But even if we don't choose your audio to play, we are listening to all of them. And I really, really want to hear from you. And we only have a few weeks left. So please, if you've been kind of dragging your feet or feeling self-conscious, just speak to me, speak pipe to me. And of course, if you want to join me at Omega, 3 days, you have 3 days to sign up. Come on, last minute people, come hang with me. Go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the retreats tab. All right, my loves, always a pleasure. It has been so fun to talk to you today. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the summer series on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. And I will see you then. Bye-bye.